Fridays on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. May the 20th, 2013, speaking from the north of Scotland, and tonight my guest is from Guelph, Ontario, the very delightful and very entertaining and very intelligent Tracy Kennedy. Say hello, Tracy.
Hello, Tracy.
Excellent. Correct response. Correct comedy response. So, so welcome to Journeys. Welcome back to Journeys. We've had a few conversations on here. We are also, thanks to your stream, also going out live on Flagship Radio, is that correct?
We are live right now at turtleislandnews.info and thesechangingtimes.ning.
Oh, right. Oh, thank you very much, Donna. That's great. That's Donna Devane's station, isn't it?
This one is, I don't know where we're going.
All right. It goes out, and then who knows where it goes after that.
There are people playing it, us, and we love it.
All right. So, well, a very great welcome to you all. And if anybody wants to drop into the Wolf Spirit Radio chat room to say hi, if you're listening to any of the other ones, it's wolfspiritradio.com/wolfchat. So you can come and join us there. It's a lovely place. There's lots of nice people in there from various places in the world. And, we're here. We're broadcasting from Connecticut on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. And we're also being simulcast by Dave on Wolf Spirit Radio in Pahrump, Nevada. So it's a real international affair today. So it's lovely to have you on. Now, last night, I had my Ever Beyond show, and we were... you had various other commitments, and you kind of dropped in for the last 20 minutes, and it was tantalizing, lots of little nuggets that you were dropping. So maybe we could recapitulate on some of those and then kind of expand on them, because some of these subjects are really, really interesting, aren't they?
I'm glad you found them. So, you know, with everything that we've talked about in the last, 2 years?
Yep.
It's all coming together. Mm. All of it. So, the time of the deluge and the even cataclysms, I'm not entirely convinced it wasn't a nuclear war, to be honest, because the more I'm looking at things, it looks like we had a common culture. Perhaps even JP, a common language. And I know that sounds outrageous, but, you know, if I'd say to most people who are listening to us right now, even 20 years ago, if I said LOL to them, they'd probably look at me like I've lost my mind.
Or lots of love.
Or, you know, Most people would have no clue of what that meant, or little acronyms. Now, I'm not sure if we could go anywhere on the planet and them not know what that meant.
True.
So, you know, it's a sign of a communal language. It's a sign of perhaps us reverting back to how we were. And maybe even, if this isn't going completely off the rails, a new Tower of Babel, because even though the scary books about it, that's another one of our things, like Noah, that is in absolutely every single culture that I've even heard of. That there was a tower, it was for communications, and maybe we've all spoken like this before and had a language that was common.
And and we've all been destroyed several times over. You know, that's another possibility. Is that we're just the same over, same over, same over.
Yeah, that we keep running into the same situation, maybe by our own fault, maybe because we keep traveling in a cosmic electric jumping ground. And you can't get away with that kind of stuff. If you're fighting with each other, you cannot deflect the comments.
That's right, you're not looking.
Deflect the comments when you're fighting like children.
And that seems to be a way, you know. They always talk about, you know, war in heaven and stuff like that. But, you know, war in the heavens, certainly, when stuff's going on, and we've been talking about comets and dwarf stars and all of that sort of business going on up there, that, you know, we've grown up over the last couple of hundred years. It's been very quiet out there. But I think, you know, as we've been always speaking about, you know, we're heading for a bit of a busy time. Heavens-wise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not talking about, like, the mythical place. I'm talking about, you know, space outside our our atmosphere. Now, you and Cliff High have hit some common threads here. And I'd like to cover the firmament. If that's
you'd like to cover the firmament?
Yeah, I can cover 10 square yards standing still. No.
Wonderful.
because you're talking about you've been talking about water that is kind of up in the upper atmosphere, not
that's
falling, hanging there.
Yes.
How's it hang there?
Well, water in its natural state is quite light. It's one of the few things that we know that can be even plasma form.
Mm.
So water is part of what shields us, part of the thin layer. It stays there. Like, we don't lose any water here. It goes in the ground, it rains, it turns to mist, goes back up in the clouds, recycles. But there's also incoming water, waters from the heavens, far off the planet, that are coming in from meteorites and comets and perhaps aliens throwing cosmic snowballs and Lord knows what else at us. I don't know what all is throwing this at us, but it's definitely coming. And it sits there as a shield. But, you know, with us throwing rockets up there and doing little things like NASA did twice last month and just throwing chemicals up there to see what would happen, these kind of things set off a chain reaction of events that I think we've experienced many, many times. We definitely have evidence of a cataclysm, don't we?
Well, yeah. And, you know, I mentioned last night about when I discovered that there was a festival called Cataclysmos in the island of Cyprus where people flick water at each other. You know.
And they flick water. Isn't that something?
Yeah, isn't that funny? So it is definitely, I believe, very connected with the flood legends.
I think so,
Can we call them legends? I don't like to call them myths, because myths are like, you know.
Stories.
Yeah.
We remembered something, yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And almost exactly. If it was kind of like it, that would be something, and that would be interesting. But we even use some of the exact same names, which I find just completely mind-blowing, especially with Noah. When I started looking at that, I had conversation with Gerald, and after I told him that, he went, see? And I'm like, you know, I wasn't going to tell you. I don't want to encourage you.
Gerald being Gerald Whack Horse Standing, who's a regular guest on your program. And
regular guest who speaks of the Torah and the Talmud and Old Testament, New Testament things to me. And when I was reading some of the data that I collected on Friday on my show, I don't want to bore everybody to death with that. It's just when I started going through not only Noah, but the names of the grandchildren who spread out, and these names that popped up in several different places around the world. And I can even get that kind of stuff for you later if you want to talk about that next segment. It's amazing. But when I had to tell them, okay, they mentioned some of those guys. Pardon? Nothing. So I had to say, yes, Daryl, you're right. So he enjoyed that very much.
Of course. He enjoys testing you. If you listen to Gerald and Tracy on the show, he'll ask Tracy the most obscure question. And actually, Tracy, 99 times out of 100, actually answers the question very well. So that's all very interesting.
He was going to trip me up the other day, and I came up with a number, and he was like, and that just encourages them. So I had to start thinking fast on my feet.
So where are we? We are in the middle.
Do you want to talk about another reason why I think we're a little older and had a little bit more tech than we thought?
Yeah.
I found something. And it was
in your backyard. You've been digging again.
Well, no, it's higher. And SETI found it as well.
ESETI or SETI?
SETI.
SETI. So the SETI.
The satellite thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there is an object circling around the planet that's still up there. Completely extrapolation how long it's been up there. I have heard 13,000 years, which as far as I can tell can't be proven, other than we have some cave drawings with the shape of it. But to me anyway, and it's just my humble opinion, I have not found conclusive evidence that they can do any dating past 6,000 years. And I know people get mad at me when I say that, but radio testing and isotopes doesn't give you the whole picture, because we've been hit by meteors that cause chain reactions like nuclear waves. So we had isotopes that could make something look millions of years old, maybe when it was only hundreds. So anyway, it's been up there for a long time. I'm guessing 6,000 years, but here's what I know for sure. This, at first it was just called a UFO because I weren't 100% sure, but there's been a couple people talking about it. Number one, Tesla. Tesla talked about it in 1899. He developed a high voltage radio transmission in Colorado Springs, and you and I have talked about this. He announced that he was receiving an electrical signal, and not only was he receiving it, it appeared to be intelligent and responding to him. The signal was clearly repeated periodically, and it had suggestions of numbers and orders. I couldn't find the exact numbers it used. I would love that data if anyone can find it.
Oh, yes.
This led him to believe the signal was extraterrestrial communication. Now, later, people said, well, he was getting random radio signals. But from where? Because there weren't any radio signals at that time. Now, at first he thought actually Mars. And later he changed his opinion. He still said, yes, I got them. But he did it at a conference in front of all of the best scientists in the world. And he said this was orientating somewhere in space, not on a planet. And a few years later, Marconi also intercepted the exact same unknown artificial signal.
So, we have a signal sending out radio waves before we invented radios to send out radio waves with.
Yeah, we just started that kind of technology, and Marconi said 100% that he was not sending them to Tesla. It was not that they were sending them back and forth. They were
that would have been funny. Oh, I found something from outer space.
Yeah, it's you. Yeah, it's you. You know, and they're kind of talking across the ocean at each other. No, they were sending it up. As far as we knew at that point, there was nothing up, tens of back. It couldn't even, there's nothing, it should have hit nothing.
So how high is it? How far up is it?
Well, what I've got here, we know it's an orbit because they talk about it, well, let me keep going. They talk about it in 1927 again. They said it was a mystery satellite orbiting Earth detected by astronomers in 1927, so they saw it. 4 years before the launch of Sputnik 1, 1953, the object was also seen by Dr. Lincoln Lopez, University of Mexico. Reports of this object began to come in after the discovery. Science were seeing this object. Then the Department of Defense appointed another astronomer to take a run at this thing. So 1957, another doctor, Luis Carlos, Communications Ministry in Venezuela, photographed it. I have pictures of it. Photographed it while taking pictures of the Sputnik 2 as it passed over Caracas. Now, unlike Sputnik 1 and Sputnik 2, this mysterious satellite orbited in east to west orbit, exactly opposite the Russian and American satellite. Up until this time, moved west to east, thereby using Earth's natural rotation to stay in orbit speed. This isn't doing it that way. As a matter of fact, all of our satellites go like that.
So hang on a second. It's flying against the grain, as it were.
Yes.
So yes. It's actually traveling at 2,000 miles an hour. No.
No.
No, it must be geostationary in one... No, hang on. How's that going to work? No, it's got to be... Yeah, it's got to be at least 2,000 miles an hour.
At least, yes.
Because yeah, it's 1,000... The Earth is spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, and this thing has to rotate around it. Well, it actually might... It could be going much faster, couldn't it? It depends how fast it's rotate and where it's... So its path, I heard earlier you said it had a polar path that passed over the North Pole. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, and again, it has a polar orbit, something that neither the Americans or Soviets are capable, at least at that time. And as far as we know, they're still not.
Why is that?
You can't fly over the poles. You crash.
What happens?
You lose radio signal and you crash.
Uh-huh.
Could be because of the Nazis.
Uh-huh.
We're not really sure why, but you lose radio signal. You can't go directly over the pole.
Mm-hmm.
The further north you get and closer to that pole, radio signals are off, and that goes both poles. So something... So strong, it's stronger than what we have now.
Yeah.
Now, there is a statement from ham radio officer, operators that was picked up. They also picked up radio transmissions. Now, these were decoded, whatever that means. And it was sending a star map that indicated that the craft originated from, Epsilon Boots, 13,000 years before. Now, this is extrapolation, and I didn't see the research, but, you know, this is just what's out in the ethers that they're talking about it.
So this thing has got a star map written on it? Oh, no, it's the star map that is being broadcast.
It's being broadcast.
That's self-identification. You are being observed from paper bases. but it's in the position of when it was 13,000 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
That it was sent out somewhere and apparently asked to return. So the object at this point is dubbed the Black Knight. And we have a Sergeant Clifford Stone that was on Project Camelot that also mentioned the same alien probe. So a lot of people are talking about it, but I just don't think enough. In March 1960, again, another mysterious satellite. Now, I'm saying another because it looks like there's not just one, that there's two.
Mm-hmm.
This satellite, again, polar orbit, that neither the U.S. or the Russians are capable of. The Soviet satellites are inclined at a 65-degree angle with the equator. It's calculated that the weight of the object is 15 tons, far too heavy for a rocket of that era. It also, here we go, traveled twice the speed of any known satellite at the time, and that's what you were saying too. Object was sighted and studied by many astronomers across the country. And one, this is a Robert L. Johnson. And the names that I'm giving you are only the ones that I could find. These were real people. And he was the director of Adler Planetarium. This is what he had to say. The object doesn't even have the decency to maintain a regular schedule like any other heavenly or man-made object I've ever seen. We don't know even when to watch for it. It seems to appear some nights, and then some nights it just doesn't. Isn't that the weirdest thing?
That is the weirdest thing. So it's sending out a radio signal they know, right? Because they pick one up.
Yes.
It must be emitting something in order to be traveling that fast. It needs to have an engine, doesn't it? If it's that heavy, it's got to have some sort of I'm imagining it's got kind of gravity generator technology or something like that.
It has to. It has to. It's going
at 15 tons. That's a big lump.
And it's heavy. Yeah. And all the pictures I have from it, to me it looks familiar, but I can't even say why.
Is it just by any chance sort of delta pointy back wing shape?
A little bit. Do you look at the pictures?
I tell you where you've seen it before.
Did I see it on the show?
I tell you where you've seen them before. If you look at the, who is it? It's the Navy Space Program. And the Global Guardian, all these guys who are involved in the secret space program, they've all got these badges with this insignia that has got the Earth circled by two interlocking circles.
Mm.
And this delta form is apparent. It's depicted somewhere on the thing. And, you know, there's loads of them, and it's basically, I'm sure that it's describing the same thing, because they have these two circles, which are representing, obviously, these two satellites. Because there's two of them, aren't there?
There's two.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's at least two.
Yeah. But there's these two satellites, and there's this kind of delta wing thing, a bit like the insignia on the Star Trek badge.
Somewhat. Yeah. But can you imagine, you know, there's Tesla, there's Marconi sending the first radio signals ever and listening, and then you get something back your first time.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Hello, I'm your artificial intelligence watcher. What are you doing?
Yeah, can you imagine how that, but even 1987, so this hasn't gone away, Shuttle Endeavour. Mission STS, and you can look it up, 0884. the naysayers out there, photographed again a mysterious object orbiting Earth. Five pictures of the object that are pretty clear, right from the NASA website, that's where I got them, clearly shows a large orbiting thing circling the Earth. Is it possible NASA inadvertently photographed the same Black Knight satellite? Could this be the same object that Gordon Cooper spotted over Australia while in its orbit on Faith 7? Because he talked about it too. So this has been seen many, many, many times.
And you can see it through a telescope, presumably.
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes, if you know where you're looking. You never know when it's going to pop up, so I can't say, you know, look at the eastern sky. How fast is it going if you're standing on the ground? I mean, how long does it take to cross the sky from horizon to horizon? Do you know that?
Well, I have differing reports because it seems to pick up speed and slow down. But I'm looking at the Times magazine, because I think they've put up the speed. I'm going to go through that. Again, this was 1960, so it was in there. They were talking about it. Speculation on what the heck this could be, whether or not it was launched by the Russians, but I would say no. Again, Russians that were blaming the Americans, not giving us a speed, but the first sighting in that group of sightings. Most important component of the Space Watch went into operation about 6 months ago. So that was 1959, with the construction of what they called the Dark Fence, kind of radar tripwire, stretching the width of the entire United States, designed by Naval Research Laboratory to keep track of satellites whose radio was silent. Notable improvement on other radars until they kept getting this thing.
So that's interesting you say naval, you know, because that's what I just mentioned. These are the guys that have got the badges with this insignia on. Interesting. Anyway, keep going.
So they're spraying radio waves upward in the shape of open fans at that time. So they've been spraying crap into the air for a long time. So some 250 miles on either side, receiving stations pick up signals that bounce off any object passing through these fans. So by triangulation, the operators could make a rough estimate of the object's speed, distance, and course. Okay, here we go.
Yeah. So what we're talking about basically is a scaled up radar. You've got one source, but you've got lots of receivers, and then all the receivers are brought together, so, and then resynchronized to allow for time and space, so that you've got a picture of a sweep that's going on up and down the country. So, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's perfect. So, January 30th, the Dark Fence detected two passes of what seemed to be an unknown space object, which is a hilarious way to say, did it pass or did it not, boys? Okay, so it passed them twice. After detecting several more passes in the next couple of days, the commanding officer of the Dark Fence decided that something was circling overhead, which, you know, I think that would be fair to say. Roughly polar orbit again. He raced to the Pentagon in person, reported this menacing stranger to the Chief of Naval Operations, and this was Burke at the time, believe it or not. Arleigh Burke. Now, within minutes, the news was communicated to the President Eisenhower and marked top secret. So in the confusion, there was a delay before anyone took the step necessary to positively identify the strange satellite. That part I don't believe. Come on, you're trained, and that's what you're supposed to be looking, and you're going to panic? So, informing the Air Force newly established surveillance center in Bedford, Massachusetts, still ongoing, by the way, it is the surveillance center's job to take all observations from the satellite from friendly observing centers, optical, electric, feed them to computers to produce figures to identify them. The only way of knowing that a new satellite has appeared is by keeping track of the old ones. Obvious. So it took 2 weeks for Dark Fence's scientists to check back through their taped observations to discover the mysterious satellite that had first shown up August 15th. The Air Force Surveillance Center also checked its records to provide a list of everything else that is circling the sky, and its computer worked out detailed description the object's behavior. The evidence from both the Air Force and the Navy pointed to Discoverer 5, fired from Vandenberg Airport Base, August 13th, and the source is from Time Magazine.
Right.
And I've got a picture of it. But they're talking a lot and not really saying.
Well, thank you very much, SJ. SJ's just passed a URL of a Google search into the chat room, so you can actually see the shape of this thing.
Oh, go to my page.
Oh, right.
Or show them all the pictures.
Or go to turtleislandnews.info, and you will find. Well, I'll just pop that into the chat room there.
Yeah, put the whole thing because I've got all the articles and everything right up there.
All right. Okay. Now. Here's the thing. I've got to get to your website without letting the radio player run.
Yeah, wait. I've got the thing. I can put it somewhere.
Okay, if you can. Yeah,
I will put it I'll put it in Wolf, and then hopefully somebody can pass it over for us.
Oh, you can drop it in here. I've got Wolf here and everything. Got it all.
I can't put it in there because I have it on my other computer. I can't do it because then there'll be sound.
I'll get it.
Okay, I've got it in Wolf. Can you put it in the other one?
Yep.
Awesome. Oh, what a team. Yeah. We work.
There we go. Stop it before it starts. There we go. So I'm going to post this into the chat rooms. You do have to quickly scroll down and stop the player running, or you could listen on there. I mean, there's a chat room there, and you can have fun there. There's Wizard in there. Bookmark this site, and Tracy's got a show. Tell us when your shows are, Tracy.
My shows are 12 to 2 Eastern Standard Time, Monday to Friday, and then I co-host Tuesday and Thursday with Chief Charles Tudock, 4 to 6 Eastern Standard Time, and then Trace Elements, 6 to 8 Eastern Standard Time. And then whenever Gerald summons me, I was summoned.
So, you had a summons. He was summoned.
Summoned. Yeah, every so often I get summoned by Gerald. It's fine.
All right. So this is very interesting.
All the color.
I'm gonna have to jump in there and grab that.
Maybe I can
scroll it. Don't let it start. There we go. Okay. So yeah, the 13,000-year-old satellite, the Black Knight UFO, NASA images. So, and it is a weird-looking shape, isn't it?
Isn't that weird? Yes.
Not very aerodynamic, you'd say.
No. Not that way, but if it was tilted in a way that made sense, like tip that thing on its belly, then it start kind of making sense.
Yeah.
But up like that, it's like it's nuts. And then sometimes it's upside down.
Mm-hmm.
It's doing whatever it wants. Satellite, you're drunk. Go home.
Absolutely. I mean, it looks like a lump of stuff. It's got a pointy end, and it's got like a tower at the other end, and it's like maybe if you grabbed hold of some like a lighthouse, and you ripped it up out of the planet, Well, there's a bit of rock stuck on the bottom. It kind of looks like that.
It looks like a mess. It doesn't look like it could fly. It looks like that somebody crashed something and, you know, it turned into a lump of stuff.
Mm. It's very weird. Very weird thing. So, so you can look at that. There's a little video on Tracy's page there. Right. Right. Here's a bit of input from Greenheart in Wolfsburg. He says, in the book DNA in the Sands of Time by Jay Justice, the author claims the Nephilim communicated to Moses with a mobile phone-like device. It used a satellite which is still in orbit at the time of Babylon. At the time of Babylon, all humans spoke one language, and a tower was a launching device to send a ship to Nibiru. The Nephilim destroyed the tower and broadcast 9 languages to confuse everybody. The humans built the tower and had grown more advanced than Nephilim wanted or expected. The Nephilim destroyed the tower because they didn't want humans to visit them. Right.
Maybe.
That's the story from the DNA in the Sands of Time, anyway.
Okay. There you go.
Yes. So that's very interesting. So I'm just trying to look at the Rev Radio chat room, which is now like it's got 2 things. Yes. Bat shape reminds me of Batman somewhat.
It does, you know, the one does. Definitely looks like the Batmobile to me, too.
Yeah. It's got that kind of, well, black thing.
It's like we're catching it in the middle of transforming, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, does it transform?
Well, I don't know. I'm just making up.
All right.
It looks like it could. It kind of looks like it does.
That's upside down. No, that's just an upside down picture. Yeah. Cause it's a really, really tiny thing compared with the satellite's, picture, you know, the original picture. It's just little bug, looks like a bug on the screen. But then there's another one, Wow. Yeah, it's a really weird shape. It just,
it's out, isn't it?
It looks like junk, you know. It doesn't.
Yeah, it looks like it's a mess. It's a hot mess.
Yeah.
They crashed a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah. That somebody's got it round a way that does make it look like a ship, but it's got a kind of nose that points down the way, you know, isn't
that? But yeah, sometimes it points down and sometimes it's sideways. It goes in the opposite direction that we fly our satellites, and it goes sometimes from pole to pole, when we usually go around, again, around our belly.
Mm.
The Earth's belly kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's where all the satellites usually orbit. This thing goes wherever it wants. Sometimes it doesn't show up for a couple days.
Oh, hey, I've got a thought.
What you got?
I've got a thought. If there was, after this, see, this may have been a regular satellite like ours circulating at the same in the direction that it did, but in the time between now and when this thing was launched and programmed, our Earth has not only tilted but reversed its direction of rotation.
That would explain some things if it was programmed by, and I have been studying about cataclysms lately. Mm. I know that's a lively topic.
Yeah, well, it's one of my favorites, actually, you know. What's that word? Catastrophobia.
Yeah, catastrophobia, yeah. And because there are events that keep repeating and we have certain things that happen. Plagues and famines and strange bugs falling out of the sky, plagues of locusts, flies, which is happening right now. We've got another plague of flies and spiders, which is disgusting. And we had 4 fireballs in 22 hours yesterday.
Did we?
Yeah, United States, I was so terrified for them. The tornadoes and hurricanes they've been having are insane the last couple hours, and it looks like all of the Midwest is kind of battening down the hatches for the next little while. You know, I put out prayers to everybody in the tornado's path because the severe weather outbreak looks like it's going to spread to other parts of the U.S. plains and Midwest. So, just scary stuff.
Indeed.
Tornadoes.
Tornado Alley, or as someone said on the Sharon Tornado Highway.
And we were talking about that. They get really extreme weather. You know, it was one of the reasons why on Turtle Island, from that I mean all of North America, South America, one of the reasons why the original peoples who lived here moved around wasn't just because we got bored. It's because on this continent, you have to. Mm. It's why they're having so much Alberta right now. There are places you shouldn't stay all year long because they get massive floods. They get it all the time. We moved and didn't stay in certain areas because it's not safe to. If you had any sense and had the money to do it, would you go to a place that you knew, okay, April, May, June, you can get tornadoes, so let's stay there? You wouldn't. You would move around to some place that had nicer weather for those 3 months. That's why they did it for thousands of years on these continents. It was for a reason. It wasn't because we were savages and needed to find new loincloths. It was because it was practical. And we should be living like that before, you know, we all get killed for being in the wrong place at the wrong time. So the catastrophes, like you're saying, it happened before, it's happening now. And we can't be surprised. We need to be prepared, I think.
So, I think one of I think it's starting to happen naturally that we're becoming prepared.
Yes.
I think a lot of these waves of what we're calling evolutionary waves. All right, yeah, let's talk about the wave in a minute. But a lot of these waves of energy that we're getting are enabling us through catharsis to let go of things that we're attached to. For instance, we may have a money crisis and we realize that we can do things even if we didn't have money, you know, things. Yeah, nothing makes you more resourceful than being very poor.
Well, that'll do it. You know, we've started collecting stuff. You know, so many people collect stuff. It's the generation of the hoarder, you know.
Yeah.
We have so much stuff that's starting to become a disease. That's with people that are starving right now, and then we have people completely in the opposite direction. It just shows how far we've lost ourselves, our sanity, you know, our common sense.
So, wave.
So, waves.
The wave. Now, how long have we been talking about the wave?
I mean, for 2 years, easy.
At least. Okay, so we know that the wave is, this is what we call the wave. There's in the center of the galaxy, we are on the outer edge of a galaxy. Imagine a spinning wheel. We're kind of out near rear that we're, you know, spinning bicycle. We're kind of out sort of 90% along, one of the spokes, towards the rim. We're right out towards the edge. Nice, quiet, suburban kind of situation. And
all of a sudden,
when you look at the galaxy from the edge, as we are, imagine you're looking out at a bicycle wheel, and you're looking at the center of the bicycle wheel, as the wheel is spinning, and imagine that there's a little flashing light on the edge of the wheel, and it's spinning around really fast. And so what you see it as this line kind of expands out, you see it more as a line rather than any other form, because it's kind of along the center. And basically there's a burst of energy that's come from the galaxy. Now, the galactic center. Now, because we've got the North Magnetic Pole and the South Magnetic Pole, and right in the middle is the neutral zone. That's where everything is. Which is why the galaxy is flat. You know, it's a flattened thing. And so we're looking at the, from the rim inwards. And so if you imagine the pond and you drop something in the middle of the pond, you're looking at the edge of the pond, what you see is a wave coming towards you. And, that's the same kind of effect that we're getting. We're seeing a wave coming towards us that is just a line. And last week, something happened, didn't it, Tracy? I was just going to say galaxy. Something happened, my galactic friend.
Yes, it did. Wow, there's been so many happenings. I was laughing this morning because we've been, what would you call it, officially pummeled.
A writer's beating.
Yeah. We got our little posteriors handed to us the last week. We had, again, we have been getting gamma ray bursts, which is not unusual, but steadily from galactic center, from Andromeda, several different places. As a matter of fact, we got 1 4 days in a row, 3 1 day, and then we got the X flares that we've been talking about. We had, oh, by the way, on Friday, a lot of people announced that the moon had been hit by the brightest asteroid ever. It was actually in March that happened. NASA just got around to talking about it, but we've seen it before. So we have an incoming CME that should be here any moment now. I think what Oklahoma is experiencing with that huge tornado that was on the ground for 40 minutes, that smashed schools and stuff, this is part of it. The devastation, you know, earthquakes and volcanoes and tornadoes and that pulsing thing that's happening up in the Arctic. It's incredible events that we're having happen over and over and over again. The pulsing from the sun, the inside of our planet rang out like a bell, sent another shockwave that caused another one of those double vortices up at our North Pole. That's the second time that happened. And then, well, I don't know about you, but I had a whole bunch of other people saying when the sun went off and the galactic sun, our dark sun, and then the dark sun in the planet, and then the dark sun in our heads, which is our pineal gland. Every single being in this cosmos felt this. Had to have. 100% had to have, because we're electromagnetic as well. It's just incredible. Absolutely incredible.
So let's go back through the chronology. The galactic center, the pulse hit the sun at what date? When was that?
The pulse hit the sun on the 13th.
On the 13th. And the sun then started pulsing out?
13th to 15th.
So the sun, the galactic center did this pulse, and it had sub-pulses?
It had sub-pulses. Over the weekend, on the 18th and 19th, it hit us. We have another one, should be hitting now. Do you remember when I told you I felt an impact a couple weeks ago where I woke up in the middle of the night and I saw these green flashes that I've never seen before? I saw a picture of one, of a green flash that happened last night. So what I did see was a pulse of a CME. And it woke me up last night. So our magnetic center pulse, then three other galaxies on the way here pulsed, then our sun pulsed. Then before the CME could reach the planet Earth, the inside of our Earth pulsed a radio signal. Most of our outer shield, you know, the umbral opening, if you want to call it that, darn near tilted. And then these CMEs have been coming over and over and over again. You know, on the weekend, there was a pair of CMEs that hit Earth. And the brightest one was seen over Cape Cod, Massachusetts. That makes zero sense. There's no way Cape Cod should be getting the brightest aurora.
I'll tell you the one thing that I've noticed in the last 5 days. I haven't seen the bloody sky at all. It's been misty, 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 misty. And rainy, rainy, rainy. And actually, the wind's not been too bad. It's just been misty and dull and gray and sort of twilighty. So you could say that that's normal Scottish May weather, but normally May is the best month. Normally May is, you know, the sun is shining and there's no midges. It's usually quite warm and everything like that, but it's just not like that here now. So I really feel, and I looked at the sky at sunset and it was a really funny color, like a dirty color. There's dirty pink. I don't know, weird color.
I had said that I wasn't going to talk until aliens. We don't talk about aliens till Friday.
No.
But
it's nearly the top of the hour, so that's almost like the end of the week.
It's almost like Friday.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think in an Antarctic glacier, we have actually seen a bright red waterfall, and it's called Blood Falls by geologists who found it in 1911. It has microbes that were trapped in the ice for nearly 2 million years, and it started going red again. It's incredible. It's not just red, it's full of RNA. So I think it's worth repeating, alien life forms again that are already known to exist on this planet. Astrobiologists are trying to point out, I think, the obvious, that whole shadow biosphere thing, because up in the far cold that traps all of our extra water, when that stuff comes down, a lot of times we get either the red rain or the green rain, and then there's usually plagues and pestilence and running and screaming.
Shades of the Nile turning red.
Yes.
When we're talking, you know, we like a bit of biblical.
Yes, we do. We'll bring the Bible right in.
Biblical catastrophe, don't we?
Bring on the apocalypse. Yeah, we'll go right there. But this has been the year for it, has it not?
That's right. So we're at the top of the hour. We'll be back after this hour for more Journeys with JP featuring Tracy Kennedy, and we're talking more space stuff. Do not touch your dial. Oh yes, welcome back to Journeys with JP, with myself, JP, and my guest tonight is Tracy Kennedy from TurtleIslandNews.info, and we're talking about loads of stuff, but before I go on, I'm going to put in the obligatory plug, but do come along to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, and click the donate button. If you like our show, you can visit our websites. Mine is everbeyond.info, And Tracy's is turtleislandnews.info. And you'll find a vast amount of information on Tracy's. And one day you'll find some interesting bits and pieces on mine. I'm currently upgrading my website to WordPress, and I'll be rolling that out soon in the next few weeks when I've got the time. We're also simulcast and archived at wolfspiritradio.com, and I've just been rewriting the archive scripts, and I've just got them good. So it's mobile friendly. You can either download the show, or you can click the button, and it will then start playing into your browser. You can open it in your favorite browser for whatever your browser helper might be. So if you're on a mobile phone, it will play in the player, and if you're on your computer, it should play in iTunes or Winamp or whatever you use. So it's all very good. It also tells you how many people have downloaded tracks, and how big the archive is. And at the current bit rate and sample rate, we're looking at it's about 13-14 megabytes for an hour of talk. So that's a quick plug there for the archives of Wolf Spirit Radio. If anybody is interested in my archive scripts, they're very good. I have to say they're very good. And they make a nice log, and I'm going to make a log that gathers statistics as well. That should be quite fun. Anyway, back to my guest, Tracy. Where were we?
Well, we've spoken of the galactic events, the planetary events.
Oh, yes, the wave. That's where we were.
The wave, the two unknown satellites that are sitting in our what? Heliosphere, and between us and the real Van Allen belt, not the artificial ones that we've just made, and they go from pole to pole rather than the same direction as all the other ones. They don't go around the equator like our satellites, so whatever the heck these are, I'm not sure, but galactic events is, well, they're incredible. You know, we look to the sky, all of us, and I'm sure that we always have, because, well, it was there and we used to be able to see it better, hopefully. But I think most of our stories about comets are our dragons, our prophets of doom, our warning signs from the heavens, because they do come from the heavens. I'm pretty sure that all of our ancient myths are suggesting that a giant comet has visited this planet thousands of years ago, raining fireballs and meteors over and over again. And every time this happens, it comes with plague and animals acting weird. And there is so much evidence to say these things happen in a cycle that we just can't ignore it anymore. I don't think most people are. I think scientists are still struggling with it, but all we have to do is look up.
Again, we've been saying for years that something's been happening.
Yes, we feel it.
Now, at the moment, outside is still misty out there, and so it's really, it's like a thick blanket of black. You know, it's really dark.
We have a thick blanket of odd. That's the way I can say it. It should be, it's not dark, but it's not light. It should be dark. It's not. The clouds are too bright.
So it's a kind of,
it's
what I imagine the twilight of the gods was like.
Very much so, yeah. That's okay. Too.
So let's try and correlate some stuff, right? I've often quoted from a book by Emmanuel Velikovsky, Worlds in Collision.
Yes, yes.
His data, which he collected from astronomical data from far and wide, from China, from Peru, from Arabia, and all these different areas of the world.
Wonderful.
And he pulled together that something happened, what he said is 1500 BC.
Yes.
And that this event was the time of the dynasty, or I don't know what the dynasty is, but the time of I can't remember his name. Anyway, one of these famous pharaohs, not Ramses, before Ramses. Anyway, long story. But what the essence of it was that there was an event that happened in the sky, in the heavens, that, now his book says, and this is what he conjectures, is that this thing came from Jupiter. He said, you know, it may have been like been birthed from Jupiter, but, you never know, it may have teleported itself through Jupiter as a portal, who knows. You know, Jupiter could be a star.
That's interesting.
And this thing comes crashing by, and it comes by so close to the Earth that it grabs the Earth by the collar and stops it dead in its tracks and starts it rotating the opposite direction, pulls it out of orbit, and then continues merrily on its way. This event happened at the same time as the story of the Exodus. Now, whether it was the Chaldeans or the children of Israel or the Israelites or whatever, or some Atlantean group who had survived so far, etc. Whoever that was, this is the event of the Red Sea apparently being parted. But my opinion on it is, if there's a large body going past, it's going to draw up the Pacific Ocean, because it's the biggest thing. And so it will pull the Pacific towards it, and in doing so, it will draw away from the shorelines of the Pacific. And underneath the bottom, if you look at, now what is it? It's not Saudi Arabia. It's the Sinai Peninsula. The bottom of the Sinai Peninsula and the Saudi Arabia Peninsula are joined by this land bridge, and the Red Sea used to be an inland lake. Okay, so so when the water comes away from that, the land goes dry. It's possible to cross there. There's another site that is in a place called Medina, I think Midian, because Medina was where they lived in Egypt. There's another place called Midian, and that has various geographical features that match exactly as they wrote in the book of Exodus, and the whole thing about the big rock and splitting the rock and having enough water in the desert to get that. There is evidence, and you can't miss this thing. This rock is like about 150 feet tall, and it sticks right up. It's just a single lump of granite. And it's split down the middle, and it's got water erosion, and it sits just above a large, well, you look at it and you'd say, that's an empty lake bed. And it was enough water. It was a huge lake that this thing made. So whether that was a plug on some ancient aquifer or something like that, but that's the famous stone that Moses is reputed to have whacked, and it started all this water coming out. Moses, I believe, spent some time in this area when he was younger, and that's how he knew all this stuff, that he traveled there in his youth. There's also, what else is there? So they didn't wander 40 years in the Sinai Peninsula. I think, it's, you know, they say 40 years in the wilderness, but I believe that this wilderness means that they actually, they were surviving in this place where there was clean water, they call it in other places the twilight of the gods, the 40 years of, so I believe that what we're looking at is the effects of what we nowadays call a nuclear winter. Hallelujah.
Very interesting, you know, because we've looked at both of these things. It's funny, we usually look at them or are thinking at them at the same time, and then we just kind of bump into each other and say, hey, have you looked at this?
Yep.
Yes, let's talk about it, because we're looking at this thing.
That's right.
At the exact same time. Most times, 9 times out of 10, we are. And I think we have seen evidence for these things before. Now, if I believe there was a great society, and it's not because we copied each other and that we learned from scratch so many times. I think we had technologies that were advanced for a very, very long time. Just, we talked on Friday, and just the ancient maps alone that outdo anything that we've ever made still to this day. And the majority of them were elliptical in nature and showed the exact positioning of our planet and mountain ranges and rivers, that they had to update their maps even recently, because they're right. I think when we talk about the deluge, and we've talked about it in a couple different ways, because everywhere on this planet has stories of it. They also have evidence that I'm thinking with you, that looks like a nuclear winter. More than one. If it was just one, I'd say, yeah, that's cool and interesting, but there's way more. And we can talk about that. We can talk about the thing that I basically said. There's absolutely no way. And I've always been okay with the mother civilization thing, but I had a really hard time with the Old Testament. I'm realizing now why I've had such a hard time once I finally looked back at certain things at it, and then realized the changes even to the Torah and the Talmud that happened in Babylon exactly 100 BC, that all of our astrology all over the planet changed. What we think is our constellations, and we go by 12. Well, it's not 12. It's actually 48. So 36 are not talked about. We have the 12 major, yes, but they are accompanied by 3 deacons, they're called, or explanations.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I call them decanates.
Yeah, yeah.
That's another word that I got years ago. They relate to the minor arcana in the tarot deck.
Yes.
The card that, so you say 48, because I've come across this 36 division, so that each sign is divided into 3.
Mm-hmm. There's 4.
Divided
there's
into 4.
Aries.
Plus, you know, you can divide the number of the, yeah, anyway, come on.
Yeah, there's one, like, say we'll just take Aries, and then it has 3 descriptors. So, myself, by my birthday, I am an Aries, but I'm also a sea monster. I'm a kraken, which explains a lot. How'd you get to know me? But
don't phone Tracy before she's had her 3 cups of coffee.
Yeah, don't ask for stuff first thing. Don't rush me.
Yeah. But so yeah, I completely get you. Yeah,
we've been lied to about so many things. When you go through the stories, and what bothered me so much is, you know, we've had one specific religion. Well, people of the book, so it's 3 religions. They all look like the same to me. I'm sorry, but they do. That's been shoved down our throat, and it bothered me so much that I became blind to some things in it that are actually... Okay, 600 individual flood stories that I've looked at. 600. They all have some key factors. One, a prior corruption of mankind that they called sin. Sin itself is a very interesting word. Sin is actually, it's from a Greek term that means when you shoot an arrow and it doesn't hit the target and is just off from target, that term is sin. That's what sin is. It means not hitting directly in the target.
All right. So it's not to do with Dexter and Sinister?
No. No. It means that you're off mark. You're not traveling straight, mm-hmm. Which is actually, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's cool enough.
I'm actually a little bit okay with that one.
Because it's more or less, you know, not quite perfect.
Yeah, yeah, and you know.
Which is not such a bad thing as being
as
a
being
sinner and you're going to go to hell. You know.
Going to hell and you are so, you're dirty and you're awful and you're nasty and you're evil. No, it means something that a person can relate to. You take a bow, you know if you've hit center or you're off, you know it. You can correct it when you've made a mistake. So, that's interesting. And one way or another, it all means corruption has happened and it's sin. But the sin sounds more like that term. Then, a flooding warning that was unheeded by the majority of the masses. That seems to be universal. A survival vessel. That's universal. Preservation of up to 8 people with representative animal life. That's universal. Sending forth of a bird to determine suitability of an emerging land. That's universal. Significance of a rainbow descended from a mountain. Repopulation of the whole earth from a single group of survivors. And one other thing. Noah. And this in particular, when you consider the ultimate languages difference between people, especially now, extreme location distortions, which developed all these flood languages, but the name itself has survived virtually unchanged, even in Hawaii, where this man is called Nu, the Sudan, No, China, Nua, in the Amazon, Noah, Phaeacians, Noe, or No, among Hottentots, No, and Hono. Now think about this. Did each of the nations on this planet independently concoct a fake name that they imagined and hallucinated for a surviving flood family? Or did these widely separated peoples refer back to the same family of survivors? We have genetic evidence that at one point the population of this planet was so small that we can all trace our ancestors. All of us, without question, can trace our ancestors back to a very tiny group of people. And the fact that that name goes in 600 different nations on this planet, I think is incredible. And all of those similarities, that can't be, you can't just make that up. I think it's because they are, were from a family. And that doesn't mean that it was the only survivors here. I think some people went off underground. I think some people actually went off planet. I'll get into that. Not until Friday. No aliens till Friday. But that in itself for me is incredible. That our ancestors were not idiots, imbeciles, illiterate. They were civilized. They had enormous cultural heritage before they separated, and they knew each other. They were prepared.
So this is a group that had much more unity consciousness than we did. So this is this is the group before unity consciousness was destroyed, you could say.
Yeah. Yeah, and we have evidence of the first thing they did when, and it makes sense, what would we do? We suddenly had a year or 2 years where there was no lights and we had to start gathering everything back. We would grab seeds, and even this is evidenced by where they see writings up in middles of mountains that shouldn't be there. Like we landed there, but not just in one place, but all over, and smatterings of a great amount of vegetation and varied. Why do we have so many similar, the same plants all over? Like why are there evergreens everywhere? Why is there the black seed? That's also chia. It's known everywhere. It's because we grab these things and we divide it and separate it. And maybe there were 12 groups of 8 to 10. Maybe there were 20. Maybe some of us went off planet. Maybe some of us went under it. But this story doesn't seem fanciful to me anymore. It seems like we did it.
This is a very so. In a way, what we're doing is, we're creating, we're recreating our planetary history, which I think is a very important thing because I do believe it's been taken out from us by those beings that we call the powers that be, the Rothschilds, whatever. That's or indeed the Roman Empire and all of that. Destruction. This is another thread you were talking about before. Yeah. The destruction of knowledge.
Yes.
Systematically removing any stories that don't sound like like we that call the official story in 9/11. You know, basically, if you are telling that story, you are either killed. Or you're discredited so that you're or they take your children away. And, quote, educate them so that they don't remember your stories. They just get the official stories.
Yes.
So, that's what you were talking about that tonight, weren't you?
Well, I was talking about that, Friday. And then, well, on Fridays, I've been going through histories and ancient technologies and maps that we found to kind of say, I want us to feel and remember, and I think some of us do because it's, I feel people take a deep breath and relax after they hear me say it, and I can't even explain 100% why. It's like we've always known that we've been lied to. I don't believe that we were always in the fighting state. I believe that there was a group that has, and that we prepared ourselves, separated, and took care of these things. That even in Egypt, I don't see the big signs of evolution, you know, from a primitive state, if you want to call it that. I see around 3000 BC, Egypt sprang into existence, fully developed, without a transition from a primitive state. I know people look at some of the step pyramids that aren't as fancy as the larger ones, but I would like to say what those are resonance chambers. Why would I say that? Because the people who are from that area say that's what they're for. So that's pretty simple to me. Okay.
Yeah. What's that? Oh, it's one of those.
I love that. I love it when every so often somebody has the sense to say, hey, what's that thing? Because you'd be surprised. Someone will want to tell you. So we've had great cities and enormous temples, pyramids of overwhelming size, the colossus statues and tremendously expressive power and luxurious tunnels and tombs and streets and perfect drainage, not kind of, but perfect, even decimal systems from the very start. This means they had a time when they couldn't use it and they came back to use it. And if the pyramids were only in one spot, you would think then that was a miraculous event, but they're not in one spot. They are everywhere, all over the world. These things have happened. As soon as we pulled ourselves together and things started drying up, because I'm sure that took some time, we immediately started rebuilding, and we started rebuilding things higher so it would be safer. And then a small group of people, and no, I do not blame it on the Europeans. It is not just the Europeans, because we have images of fair-skinned, red-haired people all over this planet, and we're trading and we're talking, and we have the same symbols, not kind of, but the exact same. The Celts, the ancient Phoenicians, the people in Sudan and Ethiopia, in all over the Middle East, in China, in North Russia, in all of Turtle Island, the Great North, and the further south. We have things that aren't similar, they're the same. Pictures, same images. So we were a people together of different colors, and we spoke. And we're doing it again. For me, this is incredible, JP. It's incredible, and I'm, even with all the other crapula that's going on the planet, this shows me light, because we did it before. And whatever the heck happened, we kicked their butts right off the planet and pulled ourselves together and we're family again. That feels right. That feels more right than anything I've ever seen or heard.
That's why I like Babylon 5. If anybody hasn't seen Babylon 5, go and get a torrent and download the entire series. Watch all of them. It's just awesome. It is a really awesome show. And how many series? There's 5 series. It's a lot of TV, but I mean, it's better than, don't watch the news, because if you watch Babylon 5, you'll see how the news works. You know, they have conspiracies. They've got
It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, they've got the false flag events.
Yes, they do.
They have an assassination. They kill the president. And it's an inside job, and it's like really obviously the Dick Cheney figure, what's it, the vice president, you know, who, you know, becomes unelected president, you know, you've got all this stuff going on, and somehow, yeah, I wonder what Babylon 5 is representing. Is it like a
us? Maybe it's us when we were okay.
Yeah.
And that our family who went off planet and came back, we enjoyed each other's differences and their rating and all that stuff. We enjoyed it. And You know what my favorite one? You got to tell me what your favorite episode was.
Mm-hmm.
Mine was just like a piece of an episode. And I even forget the guy's name. It was so long that, it was the ambassador with the really funky hair.
Londo.
Yes.
Londo, yes. Malari.
Yeah, I loved you.
Beer. Mr. Garrett, sorry, I just love the accent. Peter Jurassic, absolutely classic. Anyway,
he's awesome. So, you know, he's trying really hard to understand the humans, which is difficult.
Yeah.
As we are, and he finally says, "You know what? I've always wanted to ask you." I said, "What?" He was talking to the captain.
Yeah.
He said, "You have beautiful music all over your planet. Gorgeous, precise, earth-shaking, and brings tear to your eyes music." I said, "Yes, thank you." He goes, "But to your kids, what do you teach them?" "You put your left foot in, you put your left foot out." So he started singing the hokey pokey.
You do the hokey pokey? What is it all about? That's what it's all about. What is it all about?
Just don't know what it's doing. You just got to do it. And I said, yes, when it all comes down to it, the most important thing you need to know about humans is we're a little bit goofy. You get us to laugh, we will stop fighting and it's all over. Yeah. And then we can make the beautiful music together. But first, make us laugh. And it's done. And they've wanted us so stressed for so long. Well, it's incredible. And now we've just had the most destructive tornado in history. So there is an incredible, the events coming on are going to be incredible. But I still think of the hokey pokey and turn myself about.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's how we roll.
That's how we roll. I love that series. That was a great episode. You know, just that one moment. Actually, I was sharing with Katie Galanti last night, because she's another Bad B5 fan, and she likes Ivanova, the Russian female first officer, and she's like really hard as nails, but beautiful as, you know, it's Claudia Christian. And she's absolutely stunning, and she's got these fantastic huge eyes, very, very attractive, and she's hard as nails. It's funny, you know, the way she kind of comes up to people, because she's very surprising in the way she's working. So it's a very empowering female, because she's not using her sexuality to boss people around. You know, she's genuinely frightening them.
Strength. Yes. Yeah, strength. It's incredible.
So yeah, and again, they have in Babylon 5, they also have a war and a revolution on Mars.
That's right.
And you know, well, here's the thing, right? And this is I think one of the things. We have what Cliff High has been calling, but other people have been calling, a breakaway civilization. Mm-hmm. And it was born out, I think, this is my conjecture, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was born out of a combination of the Third Reich and the U.S. Navy. Because and they meet at the point of MJ-12. Or whatever it is called nowadays, you know, probably have some other, you know, probably it's phoenixed its way up through the years and has some, you know, really obscure sounding name now, very corporate sounding probably. But it's essentially they investigated and eventually exploited the UFO phenomenon. There is a breakaway civilization, and this is where all the missing tax dollars went. You know, Donald Rumsfeld, the day on September the 10th, said, "Oh, we've lost $2.3 trillion. Don't know, the Pentagon's somehow lost it." You know, so,
disappearing money, yeah.
Yeah, so,
it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's got to have gone somewhere, right? And $1 trillion is, that's like, you know, the entire output of the world for a year or something. You know, it's a massive amount of money. Where did it all go? It went into a space program. It went into the next phase of the space program. Once they've developed all the technology, they get to then actually, you know, put the things together and build the stuff. And I believe that they're building the arcs in which to get the heck off the planet.
I volunteered to help them pack.
Did you hear about the gold babies?
The gold babies? No, I didn't.
Oh, well.
I did not.
Here's the thing. Do you remember Andrew's program or an interview that Andrew did with me, and we started talking about this intergalactic mafia that had been smuggling DNA off the planet?
Yes.
Well, a few days ago, I discovered a news article, and the news article was saying that they thought, you know, in their opinion, was it was for, quote, satanic purposes, satanic ritual purposes. But hang on, gross alert. They found fetuses, like I think first semester fetuses, that had been roasted and coated in gold, coated in gold leaf. And
when was this? Oh my God! Can you send me the article? No,
I put it on my Facebook page. So have a look on my Facebook page.
I'll see
what I can do at the time. When was it? It was last week. But I mentioned it on my Tuesday show with Andrew, because it was a corroboration of some of the stuff that you've been talking about. Because he was saying that they were smuggling DNA hidden behind gold. Right? And what is a fetus? It's a source of really nice, you know, DNA. That's exactly what they like, and they're going to use it in cloning programs to create humans, and it's not fair because they're not supposed to have human bodies, those people who are buying this stuff.
Well, that's creepy.
Yeah. Intergalactic mafia business. Anyway, so apparently they've been busted because that's in the news, and that was a confirmation of one of the things that Andrew had been talking about, that they've been, that this Earth is a seed planet, and it's like, say, a group of corporations buy an island, and they're going to breed their next, or they're going to, on that island, they're going to develop the next vehicle, you know, next, car vehicle that they all invest in, and they're all sort of taking part in the technology. So they've got the basic vehicle that is the best that it could possibly be. And so they've all invested their patents and their parts into this one car. Nobody's going to want to let the diagrams out, are they? You know, they don't want other people to start manufacturing this perfect vehicle that they've spent so much investment into. And that's essentially what's going on with this planet, because there are many races who are invested in DNA into this planet to create the best vehicle. This is a vehicle, our vehicle, this thing that we're walking around in, it's a vehicle. It's compact. The older models were not so compact. That's why they were giants.
Definitely interesting theory.
So, that's theory. Why we're here. That's what we are.
Meat sickles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I a little bit disagree. But hey, I don't know everything, that's for darn sure.
Yeah.
From what I've seen, as we, as a human race, have been powerful, had amazing technologies, not in one place, but every place. And some of us, as are right now, have chosen not to indulge in those technologies. And when a lot of the devastation happened, they were perfectly fine because they didn't have a lot of things. And they're always the ones that make it through because they can still read the signs of this planet because animals tell you when something's coming. The rocks and the plants change colors and smells to tell you what's coming. The more stuff we have, we become desensitized to it. And that's what the television's for and all that stuff. So, yes, there's definitely a group that wants to use us for our energies. 100% with that. But I still think, even though we've been raped and robbed, there's still so much more to us. And we can still get it back. Because it's all still here. The majority of technologies are still here.
So here's the other part. This is part that came from Alex Collier. And this is an interview that I don't know if actually has been released yet. It's a series of interviews, very short ones that we did last year, and he spoke about this. I think actually I may have taken it. It was an outtake, and I may have possibly played it on the air sometimes. You know, when I have the stream, I throw these things in. You know. Uh-huh. Like a jingle, you know, a little snippet of Alex Collier wisdom. I think I'd probably like to do some others, but, some Cliff High's amazing, Tracy Kennedy's. Anyway, part of it is the magnetic field of the planet is affected, and the ley lines of the planet are affected by the part of the galaxy that we're in, whether in the northern hemisphere or on the southern hemisphere.
Oh yes,
100%. And that the cycle, this is that 26,000 year cycle, 13,000 years of which are in the North Pole, and 13,000 years of which are in the South Pole, or you know the southern dip. We dip down into the southern hemisphere. And so when we go up into the northern hemisphere or down into the south hemisphere, we change polarity in the grid. And these Vimana, these ancient flying machines and all of these things, used to fly on the grid. And that the grid only works when we're in the southern hemisphere. And we've just crossed from the northern to the southern. And so this is part of what's going on just now, is the lighting up of the ley lines.
Yeah, feels like it. Sure, certainly feels like it.
And that should be quite interesting. And what also seems to be happening is people seeing a lot more ghosts.
Ghosts and plasma entities and UFOs. Actually, last year was the biggest UFO year in Canada ever. Reported ones.
Hey.
That's incredible. Alien, eh?
Alien, eh?
And there they were, gone. Over and over again.
Yeah. Fantastic. Fantastic.
That's cool. But it was also the highest alcohol sales. So I don't know if they're like, do you see that? Yeah, pass me another beer.
Yeah, that's right. I need the whiskey.
Give me a shot. Maybe I will see it. So I don't know if it was a combo event, of course. But, yeah, there has been incredible events that I can just imagine. People want to think that they're imagining it. But I know I can't sit in a room anymore without seeing a shadow person walk by or whatever the heck they do. Or my cat coming in and looking at something and then running off. I love it. I love it when it does that.
Do you get cracks and pops in your room?
All the time.
Yeah. I get that. And, well, I mean, it's normal because, you know, I've got this wood stove fire, you know, so the metal of it does expand and contract and make cracks and pops, but it's just interesting the moments that they happen when you think something or you say something or something is going on, some conversation is going on. And it, it, you know, does feel like the world is talking back.
Yeah.
A lot more.
Me too.
Nature is speaking to me.
Yes. And listen, that's exactly what I meant, you know, if we're quiet enough and not overwhelmed with stuff, then when the world is trying to tell us something, we hear it.
That's true.
And if we need to leave or move or grab stuff, we'll know. We'll know. And I think most people are exactly where they should be right now. And if they need to move, they'll do it. The ones that are really hearing and looking around and paying attention to what's going on, paying attention to their hearts, we're all being activated. Our pineal glands are going off. We're ringing. Our internal suns are ringing just like the external one is ringing.
Mm.
And we have almost no shield, almost no barrier between us and the cosmos right now. We are naked.
And bold.
We are.
Naked and bold. Not always a good combination, but anyway.
It could be worse.
Yeah. Depends on your predilection. So.
I am part, what was that? Water beast or something. I laughed when I read that. What do you mean I'm a kraken? What kind of sign is that? Well, it said sea monster.
All right, because, now hang on, your birthday's just a few days after mine, isn't it?
April 8th.
April 8th, yeah, so you're in the middle decanate of April. So, I mean, basically, it starts going through, it goes to 2, 3, 4, in Aries of Wands, because the Wands is the fire sign, so it's the 2, 3, 4 of fire. And then, it starts into the 2, 3, 4, the 4, 5, 6 of, Swords, which is Gemini. And it goes round, through the signs, or through the suits, which are the different, qualities, the different elements.
If you want to see, the specifics, and I will find them.
Mm-hmm. I had this book years ago that talked all about this, and it was a fascinating thing, and it really made sense to me how tarot was in fact a book originally, and had been made into a card situation in order to disguise it.
Well, I've done the first one. So, 48 constellations.
Right.
And it's pretty cool. I'll go on and be more specific about it because I was asking some questions and I ticked off a whole bunch of astrologers on the weekend, you know, as I do. So, but why do we use the same signs all over the world? And then there's silence. I said, so why would they have a goat in January in North America and a goat in January in Africa? Or in the far north of Russia?
But do they have that? Are they the same symbols?
Yeah. Well, actually, it's not even a goat. It's the head is a goat and the bottom is a fish.
Mm-hmm. The old Siberian fish goat. Yeah.
But everybody seems to have the fish goat, which is interesting enough when you find out the original symbols.
Maybe that's what the Black Knight is. It looks like a fish goat.
And maybe it is a fish goat. If it's a fish goat, then that's good because that's a transformation. It's supposed to be, well, the goat head is dying. The goat is the sacrifice in dying and becoming the fish.
Ah, the space fish goat farts.
It's the fish goat space thing, yeah. It's all becoming clear to me.
It's all becoming. Tracy, this has been brilliant. Thank you for spending these last 2 hours with me. You know, we're really near the end of it.
Pleasure.
We're here on Freedom Slips, and we're also, we've probably had quite a good audience. I hope you get some good feedback from this, from your people.
Yeah, you got good feedback, and Six Nations is saying Seguli's going to go. So they're saying, hey, they love the show.
Thank you. Yeah. So let's do the old Tracy Kennedy. You're at where? How do people see you and experience the Tracy Kennedy experience?
You can experience the full Tracy at turtleislandnews.info. You should probably start there because then you can see the news articles and know what the heck I'm going on about, because I'm usually on about something. And simulcast at flagshipradio.com, theschangingtimes.ning. On Thursdays with Dave at Will Spirit Radio. And thank you so much for having me on, JP.
You're very, very
well. If you want to see me, just come to Turtle Island News.
Sure.
All the info's there.
Excellent. I'll be back on Wall Street Radio tomorrow night with Andrew Bartzis, with Soul Expressions, and who we got? I don't know who we've got. We've got something cool happening. If not, we'll talk about the gold-plated babies. I think.
That would be good, because I can't see the article. I see the
article. I'll go get that for you. All right. Thank you for reminding me. Do visit the new archive page at Wall Spirit Radio. It can be worked. You can click one button which will download it, and click another button which will then feed it into your music player. So there we go. www.everbeyond.info is my website. Stand by for some big updates, and stand by for a mad painter coming along just after the break. Thank you very much, and good night, everybody.